Welcome, welcome back. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. We'll be doing like a combined shortened divine office and liturgy of the word for this beautiful feast, this beautiful Sunday feast. Usually you don't have feasts on Sunday because they will be displaced by the solemnity that is the regular Sunday. This one is something the bishops are all around the world thought was a huge deal. So, when I'm lifted up from the earth, I will draw everyone to myself, says the Lord. We should glory in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whom is our salvation, life, and resurrection, through whom we are saved and delivered. Grant us the Holy Spirit to pray as we must, Lord. Most precious blood of Jesus Christ, save us in the whole world. Most precious blood of Jesus Christ, save us in the whole world. Most precious blood of Jesus Christ, save us in the whole world. Most precious blood of Jesus Christ, save us in the whole world. Most precious blood of Jesus Christ, save us in the whole world. Most precious blood of Jesus Christ, save us in the whole world. Most precious blood of Jesus Christ, save us in the whole world. Most precious blood of Jesus Christ, save us in the whole world. Most precious blood of Jesus Christ, save us in the whole world. Most precious blood of Jesus Christ, save us in the whole world. Most precious blood of Jesus Christ, save us in the whole world. Most precious blood of Jesus Christ, save us in the whole world. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. My brothers and sisters, let us take this moment to acknowledge our sins and so prepare ourselves to listen to God's word in this liturgy of the word. I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned in my thoughts and in my words, in what I have done and what I have failed to do. Through my most grievous fault. Therefore I ask Blessed Mary, ever Virgin, all the angels and saints, and you, my brothers and sisters, to pray for me to the Lord our God. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Please grant us your mercy. Have mercy on us, sinners. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to people of goodwill. We praise you, we bless you, we adore you, we glorify you. We give you thanks for your great glory. Lord God, Heavenly King, O God, Almighty Father, Lord Jesus Christ, only begotten Son, Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, you take away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. You take away the sins of the world, receive our prayer. You are seated at the right hand of the Father, have mercy on us. For you alone are the Holy One, you alone are the Lord, you alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and the glory of God the Father. Amen. O God, who willed that your only begotten Son should undergo the cross to save the human race, grant, we pray, that we who have known his mystery on earth may merit the grace of his redemption in heaven. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God forever and ever. Amen. I'm just going to read the first divine office reading because it's from the Old Testament and it won't logically make sense if I put it after the Gospel, I don't think. So, kind of an awkward way of combining. But we'll do the second reading from the divine office in place of the homily after the Gospel. A reading from the beginning of the book of the prophet Ezekiel. The vision of God's glory in the land of the exile. The word of the Lord came to the priest Ezekiel, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Chebar. There the hand of the Lord came upon me, and as I looked, a storm wind came from the north, a huge cloud with flashing fire enveloped in brightness, from the midst of which, the midst of the fire, something gleamed like electrum. Within it were figures resembling four living creatures that looked like this. Their form was human, but each had four faces and four wings, and their legs went straight down. The soles of their feet were round. They sparkled with a gleam like burnished bronze. Their faces were like this. Each of the four had the face of a man, but on the right side was the face of a lion, and on the left side the face of an ox, and finally each had the face of an eagle. Their faces and their wings looked out on all their four sides, and they did not turn when they moved, but each went straight forward. Each went straight forward whenever the spirit wished to go, in brackets. There they went. They did not turn when they moved. Human hands were under their wings, and the wings of one touched those of another. Each had two wings spread out above so that they touched one another, while the other two wings of each covered his body. In among the living creatures, something like burning coals of fire could be seen. They seemed like torches moving to and fro among the living creatures. The fire gleamed, and from it came forth flashes of lightning. Over the heads of the living creatures, something like a firmament could be seen, something like glittering crystal, stretched straight out above their heads. Beneath the firmament, their wings were stretched out, one toward the other. Bracket, each of them had two covering his body, close bracket. Then I heard the sound of their wings, like the roaring of mighty waters, like the voice of the Almighty. When they moved, the sound of the tumult was like the din of an army. And when they stood still, they lowered their wings. Above the firmament, over their heads, something like a throne could be seen, looking like sapphire. Upon it was seated, up above, one who had the appearance of a man. Upward from what resembled his waist, I saw what gleamed like electrum. Downward from what resembled his waist, I saw what looked like fire. And he was surrounded with splendor, like the bowl which appears in the clouds on a rainy day, was the splendor that surrounded him. Such was the vision of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. Responsory prayer. I looked, but saw what it looked like a throne, and high upon it was seated one who had the appearance of a man, and I heard a loud grumbling cry, praise to the glory of the Lord in his dwelling place, praise and honor, glory and power to him who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb forever and ever, praise to the glory of the Lord in his dwelling place. And that was from this Sunday in Ordinary Time. Now you get a second divine office reading from Sacred Scripture for the feast. A reading from the letter of the Apostle Paul to the Galatians. The glory of the cross is the caption. It was through the law that I, Paul, died to the law, to live for God. I have been crucified with Christ, and the life I live now is not my own. Christ is living in me. I still live my human life, but it is a life of faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I will not treat God's gracious gift as pointless. If justice is available through the law, then Christ died to no purpose. You senseless Galatians, who has cast a spell over you? You, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was displayed to view upon his cross. I want to learn only one thing from you. How did you receive the Spirit? Was it through observance of the law or through faith in what you heard? How could you be so stupid? After beginning in the spirit, are you now to end in the flesh? Have you had such remarkable experiences all to no purpose, if indeed they were to no purpose? Is it because you observe the law or because you have faith in what you heard that God lavishes the spirit on you and works wonders in your midst? Consider the case of Abraham. He believed God, and it was credited to him as justice. This means that those who believe are sons of Abraham. Christ has delivered us from the power of the law's curse by himself becoming a curse for us, as it is written, "Accursed is anyone who is hanged on a tree." This has happened so that through Christ Jesus, the blessing bestowed on Abraham might descend on the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, thereby making it possible for us to receive the promised Spirit through faith. May I never boast of anything but the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through it, the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. It means nothing whether one is circumcised or not. All that matters is that one is created anew. Peace and mercy on all who follow this rule of life, and on the Israel of God. So for reference, that was Galatians chapter 2, 19 through chapter 3, verse 7, with additional verses from 13, 14, and chapter 6 added in. Responsory prayer. I must glory in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. In him is our salvation, life, and resurrection. Through him we are saved and set free. Because he suffered death, he is crowned with glory and honor. Through him we are saved and set free. A reading from the book of Numbers. With their patience worn out by the journey, the people complained against God and Moses. Why have you brought us up from Egypt to die in this desert, where there is no food or water? We are disgusted with this wretched food. In punishment, the Lord sent among the people seraph serpents, which bit the people, so that many of them died. Then the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned in complaining against the Lord and you. Pray the Lord to take the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said to Moses, "Make a seraph and mount it on a pole, and if any who have been bitten look at it, they will live." Moses accordingly made a bronze serpent and mounted it on a pole, and whenever someone who had been bitten by a serpent looked at the bronze serpent, he lived. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray Psalm 78. Do not forget the works of the Lord. Hearken, my people, to my teaching. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter mysteries from of old. Do not forget the works of the Lord. When he slew them, they sought him and inquired after God again, remembering that God was their rock and the Most High their Redeemer. Do not forget the works of the Lord. But they flattered him with their mouths and lied to him with their tongues, though their hearts were not steadfast toward him, nor were they faithful to his covenant. Do not forget the works of the Lord. But he, being merciful, forgave their sin and destroyed them not. Often he turned back his anger and let none of his wrath be roused. Do not forget the works of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. He humbled himself, and because of this God greatly exalted him, is our caption. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Philippians. Brothers and sisters, Christ Jesus, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God something to be grasped. Rather, he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, coming in human likeness and found human in appearance. He humbled himself, becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Because of this, God greatly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend, of those in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Alleluia. Alleluia. We adore you, O Christ, and we bless you, because by your cross you have redeemed the world. Alleluia. Alleluia. So the Son of Man must be lifted up. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "No one has gone up to heaven except the one who has come down from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the desert, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that everyone who believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him might not perish, but might have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to take a look at that second reading now for our homily. From a discourse by St. Andrew of Crete, Bishop. We are celebrating the Feast of the Cross, which drove away darkness and brought in the light. As we keep this feast, we are lifted up with the crucified Christ, leaving behind us earth and sin so that we may gain the things above. So great and outstanding a possession is the cross, that he who wins it has won a treasure. Rightly could I call this treasure the fairest of all things and the costliest. In fact, as well as in name, for on it and through it and for its sake, the riches of salvation that had been lost were restored to us. Had there been no cross, Christ could not have been crucified. Had there been no cross, life itself could not have been nailed to the tree. And if life had not been nailed to it, there would be no streams of immortality pouring from Christ's side. Blood and water for the world's cleansing. The legal bond of our sin would not be cancelled, and we should not have obtained our freedom. We should not have enjoyed the fruit of the tree of life, and the gates of paradise would not stand open. Had there been no cross, death would not have been trodden underfoot, nor hell despoiled. Therefore, the cross is something wonderfully great and honorable. It is great because through the cross, the many noble acts of Christ found their consummation. Very many indeed, for both his miracles and his sufferings were fully rewarded with victory. The cross is honorable because it is both the sign of God's suffering and the trophy of his victory. It stands for his suffering because on it he freely suffered unto death. But it is also his trophy because it was the means by which the devil was wounded and death conquered. The barred gates of hell were smashed, and the cross became the one common salvation of the whole world. The cross is called Christ's glory. It is saluted as his triumph. We recognize it as the cup he longed to drink and the climax of the sufferings he endured for our sake. As to the cross being Christ's glory, listen to his words. Now is the Son of Man glorified, and in him God is glorified, and God will glorify him at once. And again, Father, glorify me with the glory I had with you before the world came to be. And once more, Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven, I have glorified it and will glorify it again. Here he speaks of the glory that would occur to him through the cross. And if you would understand that the cross is Christ's triumph, hear what he himself also said. When I am lifted up, Then I will draw all men to myself. Now you can see that the cross is Christ's glory and triumph. Response, we pray. O glorious cross, your arms upheld the priceless ransom of captive mankind. Through you the world has been saved by the blood of the Lord. Hail, O cross, consecrated by the blood of Christ. His members have made your wood more noble than precious pearls. Through you the world has been saved by the blood of the Lord. Let's profess our faith in the creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation he came down from heaven, and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried, and rose again on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. I believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, and I confess one baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. The cross. Now let's pray the prayers of the faithful that Magnificat has generously provided. I really love Magnificat Monthly Magazine. If you don't get it, I highly recommend it. Almost like having a shorter, easier to understand look at the priest's books. In the cross of Christ, one finds the deep serenity that is the source of generous dedication to the poor and the needy. In this peace, we now pray. The cross is the tree of victory. The Catholics be heroic in preaching Christ crucified and in witnessing to the world the redemptive value of suffering. The cross is the support of the just, that the power of the cross of Jesus Christ will establish true peace and justice in the world. The cross is the tree of life, that all persons embrace a genuine respect for human life, from conception to natural death. Christ, from the cross, draws us to himself, that Jesus crucified will draw close to himself the poor, the sick, and the persecuted, the marginalized, and all who suffer. The cross is the door through which the grace of forgiveness enters into the world, that all whose lives are marked by alienation or division will come to true reconciliation in Christ. The cross shows us the road of life, that we may embrace the cross in our life as the sure promise of newness, purification, and perfection. We pray that all the members of our online community, or communities, plural, will receive God's grace and help, that they'll receive optimism and strength as they acknowledge the value of the crosses of their lives. Pray for Henry to be able to find a better standard of living, that Henry will find a better standard of living, that Bill will get healed and restored, and for all of his needs. Pray for everybody who's lacking the grace of Holy Communion and participation in the Divine Liturgy, that God will help this truly be a very powerful liturgy for you, and that you'll feel just like you're at Mass. Loving Father, let your church be the living sign of the cross, for the way of the cross is the way that leads to the victory of love over hatred, of generosity over selfishness, of peace over violence, through Christ, our crucified Lord. Amen. Let's pray for our Holy Father. On this, his birthday, he celebrates growing through another year of life as God's priest, and his first year as God's supreme high priest. Not a full year yet, but a few months, more than a few months. Turns 70. Pope Leo XIV turns 70 today. Let's pray for his health and for him to be able to turn himself over to the pattern set by this cross in full measure and make the right decisions. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Spread the effective grace of thy flame of love over all of humanity, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. I offer my plenary indulgence or equivalent graces for the soul in purgatory. May he or she be released and helped right now. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.